Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like you said, you hope he's going to go out there and attack the rehab the way that the reports are that he has, and with that kid's work ethic and makeup, that's what everyone expects. But I would think as an organization, it makes you wonder, well, you know, we handled this guy carefully, and he got hurt. We thought we were doing it all right.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of make you question your whole philosophy, I would think. And that's, if it didn't make you question it, it probably should. You know, that to me, that's what it makes me think. I'm actually of the belief that we baby pitchers too much in this era, and that's why they get hurt so much. That's my opinion.
I don't disagree with
not
you.
I'm not Tom House. I'm not Rick Peterson. I'm not some pitching guru. I'm not some scientist. But I've been around the game a long time my standpoint as a journalist. And I just think that, you know, you ask pitchers to go five innings and four innings and four innings and six innings and five innings, and you turn guys into five-inning pitchers. And then when they get to the big leagues and you expect them to go seven, eight, nine innings, or you expect them to ramp up to be ready for the big leagues, the bodies are used to one level of exertion, and then you're asking for a whole other level, and that's when injuries happen. That's my opinion. Somewhere between what they do with pitchers in Japan and what we do with them here is probably the right answer. They overdo it in Japan. I think we underdo it a little bit here. And as I hope Bundy bounces back, I'm fairly confident that he'll bounce back. But I think that, like you said, the bottom line is, when you're assessing the farm system of the team this year, the fact that the number one guy and the guy you were kind of counting on to be that number one guy didn't pitch all year, you have to have a lot of other things make up for it. So Eduardo Rodriguez having a breakthrough year and getting the double-A and finishing the way that he finished in Bowie, which was really impressive. I think what he gave up one run. He gave up no runs in three of his last four starts, I believe. Mike Wright had a really nice year.
Yeah, Mike Wright's an interesting guy, John.
In the system. Yeah, go ahead.
Mike Wright's a really interesting guy here. Got to AAA, made a big start late in the year there where he shut down an opponent in a big AAA game as the Tides trying to make the playoffs. I mean, this is a college pitcher who's done well at every level. He really dominated the Eastern League this year. I mean, he's going to be in spring training again. So is Rodriguez. Are those two guaranteed top 100 prospects, you think?
Probably Rodriguez, I think, is definitely a top 100 prospect. Wright's kind of like one of the better kept secrets in the minor leagues for me, and I like him. He might be in the back of the top 100. I only got to see him once as an amateur, and it was against Anthony Rendon and Rice, and Rendon was the guy, had the target on his back. It was a Conference USA conference game, and Mike Wright just blew him away. It's like 94, 96, 96. I remember the radar gun reading was just wild that day. So the arm strength has always been there. I think what he's really been able to do for the Orioles is learn to pitch, learn to pace himself, learn to go deep in games. He's been durable as a pro, so he's doing all the things you want to see a starter do. You know, three pitches, he gets – and the main thing a starter has to do, and that we learned that Brian Mattis can't do, to go back to that, is you got to get out to fastballs and fastball counts. You're not always going to do that. You know, big league hitters hit fastballs, but – to be a big league starter, you got to get some swings and misses in the strike zone with all your stuff, but especially with your fastball. And our reports are that Mike Wright does that a pretty decent amount with that fastball, especially because he has that velocity and he has pretty good control of the pitch. I'm not going to say command. You know, he's not putting it in a teacup, but he definitely fills up the strike zone with quality fastballs. And that's the basis for any big league starting pitcher.
And then two other ones in about 30 seconds each. Jonathan Scope, you have to think he's a legitimate candidate for the starting second base job next year with the unclarity as for Brian Roberts right now. And I think those two, the organization and Brian, are going to part ways at the end of this season. And then there's Jonathan Scope, who people forget is only slightly older than Manny Machado. He's really young, only 80 games or so above double-A ball. And then Hunter Harvey, the first-round pick this year. Your thoughts on those two guys, John?
Yeah, well, I really like Jonathan Scope. I think if Buck Showalter thinks he can handle defense at second base every day, he will be the everyday guy next year. If not, you might see him get at least part of a year with more seasoning, and you find some kind of caretaker, basically a glove-first guy at second base. Or maybe he shares that job with a Ryan Flaherty in some kind of right-left platoon. For me, Jonathan Scope is the long-term answer for Baltimore, and whether it's a second, third, short, I don't think he's a shortstop. I think it's second base or third base. I think he can be the near-term answer at second base. I like the bat. I like the power. And then Hunter Harvey, I mean, I think he had a pretty exciting year, getting some good playoff experience at Aberdeen down the stretch. That team went deep in the New York Penn League. I think that was important. I think he's one of these guys who has a big league dad, so he knows what the game's about. should allow him to go to move quicker. At the same time, he wasn't overused in high school. He didn't pitch a lot of travel ball. He wasn't as famous as what these other high school pitchers can get and get overused in high school. So he's a high upside guy with a real power arm. So I also like Josh Hart out of their draft class this year. So, you know, Harvey and Hart are the two guys I would really watch out of this draft class going forward. And there could always be a sleeper if there's another guy who's kind of a Josh Hader of this draft class. Well, you know, we'll find out. But for me, you know, Hunter Harvey, he pitched like a first-round pick is supposed to pitch.
Well, it's exciting. I think the Orioles, all in all, are in a much better position, not only in the big leagues, but in every facet of an organization as far as player personnel is concerned. A drastic difference over the last 5 to 10 years where they are right now, and that's certainly a good thing for the club that has back-to-back winning seasons. John Manuel will write the big report, the top 30 prospects coming out in the Baseball America Handbook. Order in December. It comes out in January. John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brett. Always a good thing to talk to you. I enjoy doing your show.
Oh, I really appreciate it, John, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America. We'll catch up in the offseason, hopefully more than once, and we'll come back with more next here on WBAL.